Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 90s podcast, an aviation podcast. That's the beginning of season number two. And in this season, we're going to host a couple of previous guests that we had on the season number one. And one of those guests was Antoine. So Antoine is a French pilot. He was initially an IT engineer, then an ATC, so air traffic controller. And then he ultimately became an airline pilot flying the Airbus A320 for a low-cost carrier in Europe. And now he's flying for a major career in Europe, and he is going to tell us about that a couple of minutes from now. So, Antoine, welcome to the show.
Yes, well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure being back.
Yeah, it's a pleasure having you, man. So, it's been 3 years now from our last episode. I think it was episode 14, if I remind. And then we had a quick talk about what went on for you during that moment. It was in the middle of the COVID pandemic. So the global pandemic shut down a lot of airlines all around the world. And before talking about that, can you tell us your background? And then can you tell us during the COVID where you were flying, for which company, the base, the aircraft?
Yes. So I started out after high school. I went to engineering school. And I did a 5-year engineering school, which is pretty typical in France. And it's, I had different choices in terms of what to do in engineering. I chose IT engineering because it was the easiest for me. And, it turned out after my 4th year internship that I didn't like it very much. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I got this internship, which was meant to be great. And then it was really not at all. So I realized, man, this is not going to work. I enjoyed the engineering studies themselves. Not so much for the studying itself, but for everything that was around it, let's say. And so I said, okay, now I got to do something else. So like a standard, typical engineer, I made an Excel spreadsheet and listing all the options of what I would do. And then this is where I was really reminded of my initial passion of aviation, which never kind of disappeared. It's just that it was kind of put on the back burner because all the studying for the engineering school and not the money to fly or anything, because I've been flying gliders when I was a teenager. So then I made an Excel spreadsheet and listing all the options on different criteria. And then I thought, okay, well, it's pretty clear. I got to go back to aviation. Well, I finished the engineering studies first because as it went on, time went on, it got easier and easier. So I just had 1 year left to go. It was just easy cruising along and finishing up those studies. And then what happened, I was at a job that I had in parallel of my studies, and I applied at air traffic control school for Switzerland at Skyguide. And well, it worked out. So that was pretty nice. So the day after engineering school was over, I went to air traffic controller training for en route control for Geneva ACC. And I did that for a year in Zurich, then about 8 months in Geneva. Then we all got fired, mm-hmm. which was a terribly pleasant experience. And so I said, okay, well, ATC was not my initial plan. I wanted to be a pilot, but it turned out to be something I enjoyed. So I said, okay, I can't do that now because there aren't many schools available for me. So I just said, okay, well, I'll work as an engineer in Switzerland to pay for my pilot studies. And I did, so I'd work 90% part-time during the practical phase. And then I did that. Got very lucky, extremely lucky, could even say, because mm-hmm. then I finished in February 2016, the MCC and all this stuff. And I was hired. I did the selection April 2016 and got the job offer June 2016. And then, yeah, I did that. So I did that for 7 years, but COVID, so that was about 4 years after COVID. Mm-hmm. I'd been on the line for three, at line check for three in 2020. And less than a year after I joined EasyJet in Geneva, I became an instructor, so a ground instructor. This was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it a lot. And yeah, and then when COVID hit, was a difficult time for a lot of people, but I can't really say it was for me. Some people got unlucky, as I think was your case, but some people got lucky, and I was definitely one of the luckiest because, well, I was just paid at home to take care of my daughter and find some new hobbies. Yeah. So it wasn't too bad.
Like podcasting, for example.
Yeah, that I had actually started doing in 2017. So it was before, but I definitely had more time to do it. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's amazing how sometimes negative experiences turn out to be positive experiences because, as you mentioned it, you were fired as an ATC, right? Air traffic controller in Geneva. And then it turns out that you became a pilot thanks to that.
I don't know that it was thanks to that. I'm not sure I would go as far. But basically, the thing is I came out of engineering school. My parents paid for engineering school, which was very nice of them. And basically, I did the math between what I was making as a young engineering graduate, or what I would be making because I never really worked initially, and the price of the pilot study. And it just, it was like, oh, well, this doesn't work. When you make 2,000 euros a month and then you have to pay for a training that costs 80 to 100,000, then it just doesn't add up. So let's say traffic control was kind of the plan B. Yeah, engineering was plan C. ATC was plan B. So, you know, you can't go to plan A, so you go to plan B. And then, so it was kind of, it was an interesting experience. This I can say, but I can't really say it was because of thanks to the ATC that I became part of that. Not
really. yeah, of course. So you were based in Geneva in Switzerland, flying. Now we can mention your company because you left it. It was EasyJet Switzerland. That's a low cost carrier. So you were flying the Airbus A320, and so your schedule during COVID was pretty light, right? So you had a couple of flights during the COVID. How did you manage to maintain your currency up to date?
Yeah, so I was based in Basel for a few months, and so it's EasyJet Switzerland, which at the time was a very specific thing in the EasyJet group, as there was EasyJet everybody and then EasyJet to Switzerland. Now it's changed a little bit with EasyJet Europe, but not that much. So first job out of pilot school, 320 at EasyJet was just more than I could hope for. It was a fantastic job out of school, so I was very, very happy with that. I mean, the conditions were great. I mean, I live 20 minutes by car away from the airport, so it was just perfect. And in what is very subjectively, of course, but I'm happy with that bias, the most beautiful region in Europe, so that was great. When COVID hit, I was starting to, it had been 3 years, the schedules at EasyJet are pretty intense, and they really work you up for the upgrade and all this stuff. So I was really working very, very hard and getting, you know, my sights on the captain training, which is a bit early, to be honest, now with the hindsight. But yeah, I was, you know, starting to feel a bit burned out. So when COVID hit initially, it was really very welcome break. I think for everybody, or almost everybody, at least amongst my colleagues. So everything just stopped. And now you just hold your breath, see what happens. I mean, like everyone else. But I was one of the lucky ones for some reason. I never lost my 90 days recency. But the story behind that is that I got called. So I was basically on holidays for almost three months. And it was about mid-May. I see a change on the roster app on my phone. I could roster change. What is this? No one's flying. And actually, it was so I had called. I'd been scheduled to do a maintenance flight. So this was mid-May. So the lockdowns were starting to be lifted a little bit, but it was still very early, and there was still definitely nobody flying. So I was one of the lucky few, and we did a flight with the chief pilot, head of training, and some other guys. We took actually an airplane from Geneva to Ljubljana, which is in Slovenia, which is about an hour and a half flight, something like this. An empty airplane, of course, so that we could retrieve an airplane that was in maintenance in Ljubljana. And it was very, very strange experience because the skies were empty. We got cleared up to flight level 280 by the tower of Geneva. And for an hour and a half flight, we heard another two airplanes and we saw zero. So it was a very, I'm happy I've had this experience because it is something quite notable, I would say, but it's very, very strange, not very pleasant, I would say.
Yeah, you feel that you have a radio failure all around the flight.
Yeah, and it really hits you, the reality that, man, the skies are empty, and not just a little bit empty, they're completely empty. It's just a ghost town. Well, it's not a town, but you get the idea.
Yeah, that's right. And when did the things bounce back from this kind of slight flying situation, light flying situation, to let's say the normal, or not the normal, but a couple of flights per month, and then the frequency increasing?
So Switzerland had a little bit different approach compared to France, where I live, in terms of the lockdowns and all their approach to this. So actually, we started flying very quickly after the lockdowns lifted. Not a lot. We were maybe flying half schedule or something. That was already a lot to be flying a half schedule in summer 2020. Not very many people could say that. So we were very quickly flying again. So my first passenger flight was like end of June 2020, something like this. And then July and August were, you know, a kind of a half part-time month. So it was nice. There was some flying, but not too much. And the days weren't so long. So it was really perfect. So we were out of the whole EasyJet network, to my knowledge, we were the ones that were flying the most for quite a long time, actually, because so we flew the summer of 2020. Then there were again some lockdowns, October, November. And then it started again for the ski season in Geneva. And every time it would stop and start, Switzerland would restart quite quickly. So we kind of got used to this, and it was actually interesting because most of the network of EasyJet didn't start flying again for another year or so. So that was spring of 2021. So when things were coming back, and for example, we got forbidden to do visual approaches due to the currency. Okay, it makes sense. But as Switzerland, you know, we'd been still doing it for a year because we'd been flying for a year whilst the UK had not been. So, so we were actually, it was on and off, but every time it was back on, it was quite sudden.
Did you finally have the opportunity to upgrade as a captain? Because you were in kind of the waiting list before the COVID, right?
So what happened is basically everything froze in 2020. And the upgrades did not. So there were some guys who were in the upgrade process that had been told, okay, you're good to go. You go to the command course and you become a captain. Let's go. And of course, everything stopped for them. So there were some guys in the pipeline that were waiting just for the command course. So they had to go through first, of course. This happened about beginning of 2022. So another 2 years later before the upgrades started coming. And at EasyJet, it was this EasyJet Switzerland, I must say, because the UK is a bit different, was this whole process that took forever. And basically, I applied for the upgrade as soon as it was open again. And that was not until the end of 2022. And basically, so this is the dark side of EasyJet Switzerland, especially. I was told that I had had too many sick days to be able to go into the command process. So I had 11, and they told me you got more than 10 days. So try again in 6 months and we see if you're not sick anymore. So this was just pure blackmail, and I did not appreciate what was told to me.
It's kind of strange.
Yeah, I mean, if you talk honestly and if you listen to the other guys that are flying around Europe at other airlines, I'm not going to name any names, this is not super uncommon. This happens that if you have too many 6 days, you know, in the Gulf, in places like this, I've heard it as well. So this is something that happens. It's completely unfair, but they have also compute impunity. So, I mean, it was pure blackmail. I got it. I'll say, okay, I think this is stupid, but I'll just, you know, I'll say, okay. And then we see how it is again in 6 months. Especially I had twins that had spent a long time in the hospital and all this. So it was kind of very not appreciated and not just not right.
Yeah. But you know what? Switzerland is not a Gulf country. It's kind of surprising that they do that that kind of stuff. And it reminds me of a story that I had a couple of friends back in 2019 leaving the French Air Force, and then they were hired by EasyJet Switzerland. And they had to, I don't know if you had to, but they had to pay their own type rating, the A320 type rating, so around 20,000 euros or something like that. That's 30,000 Canadian dollars. And they had to pay this training. And in the middle of the training, not in the middle, but perhaps at the end, just before the, what they do is they do a couple of touch and goes. And just before that flight, this touch and go flight, they received a call from EasyJet saying that their contract was not valid anymore, and they wouldn't be able to sign their contract because of COVID. Because of course they had to prepay the type rating, and they had to take the type rating before signing the contract in EasyJet Switzerland. And due to that, EasyJet Switzerland say that, okay, guys, you pay the type rating. We don't care. You're not going to fly for us, at least for now. And then good luck for you guys. So there is no contract at the end. And it was kind of surprising for them. They had to join back the French Air Force because Of course, nobody was hiring at that moment and during that phase. And it was a kind of a shocking experience. And the first image that you have, joining the civilian aviation and the civilian world is not very positive when you see something like that.
Yes, definitely. In their defense, a lot of airlines did this. So a lot of airlines, I'm not going to name names, but this was actually very common during COVID. All the airlines got scared. And of course, everybody was in training, whether it was a Ryanair or Wizz Air or whatever. If you pay the type rating or not, they say, well, thank you, goodbye. And voila. So, but from what I know and I've seen is that those people got offered to be hired again once the hiring picked up again. So from what I've seen, it was, for example, the same for the cadets. So 30,000 is a lot, but think about the people who put out 100,000 for the MPL, for example. All these people were hired again. So from my knowledge, as far as EasyJet goes, these people have had normally reasonably happy endings, even though it was delayed, of course.
Yeah, that's perhaps a way to go for the low-cost carriers, because you mentioned only Wizz Air, Ryanair, EasyJet Switzerland, and I think EasyJet UK, they do the same thing. And I don't know, because I'm pretty sure they signed the contract before beginning type rating. Anyway, that's not very common in the major airlines. And talking about major airlines, I heard that you recently joined, so you recently left EasyJet and joined a major airline a couple of months ago.
Yes, indeed. So before COVID, as I was starting to get a little bit burnt out by the EasyJet schedule and by a number of things, let's say. So it was December 2019. I was talking to a friend who had joined after me, EasyJet Switzerland. We know each other very well. And, he said, because there was a number of reasons why EasyJet was great. It was great because you're home every night. It was great because it's Geneva, and Geneva's a very nice city. And, just the region is incredible. But there were a few things that were starting to, make me not too happy. So I applied. I did, okay, I'll apply at Air France, just to have an option. Because when there's no choice until there's a choice to be made, mm-hmm. as the Americans say. So I said, I'll apply and then we'll see. So I applied in December 2019. Excellent timing, isn't it? And then, so of course, it was delayed forever. It was delayed, to be precise, with 3 years. So in November 2022, I got an email saying, hey, you're invited to do the psychometric evaluation selection in January 2023. And then at that time, I was definitely much more motivated to work on the selection, to pass them. And so it worked out very nice. So in January 23, I did the psychometric evaluation. A week later, that's when they told me for the upgrade in the sick days. I'm like, okay, well, we'll see. And a week later, I got invited for the interview. And then, so that was April 23. And then I got, then it worked out. It was very, very difficult. The most difficult interview I've ever done. And so I joined early October on the 320 for Air France, not for Transavia. Which is nice, and voilà. Well, we'll see. We'll see where that takes us.
Then you will be flying the A320, right?
Yeah. So that was my choice of fleet. I like the 320. I'm a bit tired of it because I've done it for 7 years. So I'm definitely looking forward to do something else. But it was simpler for everybody because it's really, for me, it's really a big lifestyle change, because I will be first of all, I'll be commuting. Then I'll be, not home every night. It's already a very big change. So it was nice not to have another type rating on top of that.
Yeah. Do you consider moving to Paris?
No.
No. Yeah, you'll stay in Switzerland in your mountains now.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. This was a very, very difficult choice, EasyJet, towards the end, I bought a bike and I could go to work by bike, 30 minutes bike ride. And that's incredible. It's mm-hmm. just so simple, so easy. So it's very pleasant if you like biking, which I do. So to go from that to having overnights in wherever to be gone 6 or 7 days in a row, that was a very difficult choice. But, I told the story of the upgrade process. These things do tend to make the decision easier.
Yeah, and you will have a different career flying for Air France, especially you will be able to fly for long-haul aircraft, so wide bodies, A350 if you're lucky, a Boeing 777, Dreamliner, or whatever. And it's it opens a lot of doors for you to be able to have a different career, because when you will switch on the left seats in EasyJet, Switzerland, or EasyJet UK, or whatever low-cost carrier, you will stay on the left seat for two decades at least, three decades normally due to your age. So that's that's complete different career that you are able to have joining a major airline, in my opinion.
Yeah, there are positives and downsides on both sides, to be honest. So of course, EasyJet, that's a problem with single fleet airlines. That's not only EasyJet, but once you upgrade, then that's pretty much it. The position to become an instructor were very few and far between. They were very, very competitive. I had been just a ground instructor, and this was not so competitive, especially when I applied. But yeah, definitely. But after, the mentality is very different in low-cost airlines such as EasyJet, is that a lot of people, what they do is there's, they'll upgrade and then they'll go part-time and then pursue other things in their free time. So This was exactly my plan, because I was already part-time. It was 93%, so not much less than the full-time, but it was much nicer. And what I did also in summer 2021 was I became an instructor for a professional pilot. So I do multi-engine IFR. So this was my plan. The plan was to do EasyJet if other things didn't work out, then instruct on the side for future professional pilots. So to have kind of the diversity, but not in the main job, but just more on the side.
Yeah, that's great. Did you fly recently for Air France, or are you still in the simulator phase?
I'm in the at-home waiting phase mainly, which isn't too bad. I can't complain. You're like, what is the difference between Air France and EasyJet? And the answer is everything except there's airplanes. It's just there's not much in common. First of all, I arrived early October. I worked for 4 days. Then I had a month off. Then I do like 3 week simulator. So that's 6 simulator sessions in 3 weeks. It's not very intense. Then I have another month off. This is science fiction at EasyJet. It doesn't happen. And it doesn't happen at Transavia either. It's also because they're backlogged regarding the training and all. So it's a much different rhythm. But yes, I will start flying in about a month. So that'll be end of January 24 with the line training, but it's very quick. I'll just do 16 flights and I'll be line checked, and then we'll see what the roster looks like, which is also very different from EasyJet.
Yeah, it's different operations and different training departments too. I think the training department in Air France is overheating right now. It's there's a lot of training going on, a lot of upgrades, and I don't think it's very easy for them to be able to accommodate all that people, all that training pretty efficiently, to be honest. And not talking about the training, but did you have a look at the Air France schedule? Because I know that EasyJet schedule is something like a fives on, a four off, or a fives on, three off, something like that. Very, very precise schedule and a very stable schedule. Do you think that it will be the same in Air France?
No, it's completely different. Yeah. So, well, first of all, what you have to keep in mind with low-cost airlines in Europe, they're based in different countries. So the contract, an EasyJet UK contract is going to be completely different to an EasyJet France contract. It's going to be completely different from Italy contract to Switzerland and all this. So you can't really make any generalities, because they're all very different, depending on the law of the country and how strong the worker protections are. So you're going to guess pretty easily that they're going to be a heck of a lot better in France than the UK. So in Switzerland, we had for a long time just one roster option, which was a flexi roster, which was, as it said, it wasn't very predictable because it was flexible, but not for the employee, but for the airline. Then came the 5-4, which we got like after 15 years of asking for it after COVID. And then, so this I chose. I chose the 5-4. It's really great, the 5-4, because it is predictable. But on a low-cost rhythm, when you really fly the 5 days and you have 5 times 10 to 12 hour duty days and, check in at 5 a.m., then it's a lot. It's really a lot. So, for the 5-4 was nice. At Air France, that does not exist. It's not even out within the realm of possibilities. It's just something completely different that they don't think of. Will they one day? I'm not even sure. So yeah, it's much more closer to the flexible roster. Flexible meaning the airline tells you what to do, and they can kind of, there are some protections, of course, but it's but you have more. There's a lot of options. You can say, for example, do I allow the airline to give me more than 2 times 2 days off a month? Then you can say no, which I said no, because 2 days off is not fun. So there's a lot of flexibility. You can make wishes that are granted due to seniority. Kind of looks like an American system, but doesn't have the line bidding and all. So it's kind of an in-between. So yeah, on the medium haul, I would say the rostering has quite some negative aspects at Air France compared to the 5-4.
Of course, you still have your podcast, Parlons Aviation in French podcast.
Yeah, it's been running steadily along. So I think I put out episode 135 last week.
Oh, Christ.
So that starts, it's, you know, when the numbers become that high, it's like, wow, I'm even surprised myself that I'm still been going for that long. No, just one episode after the other. And then then sometimes, you know, it's less fun than others, but just, you know, keep on going. During COVID, it was super easy because everybody had a lot of free time. So everybody was available. It was super, super easy to schedule. So I did it every 2 weeks until last summer, summer 22. And now with the twins, so now I have 3 kids, and just life in general, now I'm an instructor on the side and everything. So I now switched it to once every month. So it keeps on going, but half the pace that it used to, because then it was just too much for me. And it wasn't fun.
Yeah, and hopefully you have some time thanks to the Air France training delay. And that's great for a podcast. Great. So what's now for you for the future? So of the podcast, I think you will continue to run it. And for your career, so you will fly for Air France, short haul, medium haul. And I think you will be able to not upgrade, but you switch from medium haul to long haul in a 1 year time frame right now.
So the objective is pretty simple for me. 7 years flying the Airbus A320, I don't know everything about it, for sure not, because it's too much. But, you know, I'm really looking forward to move on to something else. The reason I came to Air France is because even if the music stops and I get stuck on the A320, then I still have to learn, you know, a new network, the operations of a major airline and all of this. But the goal is definitely as much as possible to, as soon as I can, go to the long haul. I've actually already been able to make the wishes. I don't think they will come true, but the delay to go to the long haul, if you have the hours, which I do, is becoming shorter and shorter. On the previous type rating campaign, they had people who did only 9 months on the medium haul, which is pretty crazy. You're right. So we'll see. But it is my expectation that in about a year, so a year after joining, I'll be in A350 type rating is the expectation. We will see. Yeah? We will see. Of course, this can change from in a heartbeat, as we've seen recently. But definitely the objective is to go long haul. I want to do something else, something a bit different. The A350 looks very nice. The A330, not so nice, but I'm happy to learn it.
What?
Right, compared to the A350.
A330 is awesome, man. Yeah, A350 is even better, but A330 is awesome. You can't say that. I can't allow you to say that.
I didn't say it was bad. I just said I'm more looking forward to the A350. long haul, as soon as possible. We'll see when that happens, either this summer or next winter, if things keep on going as they have been going for the last few years. And the part-time, I definitely want to go part-time. So long haul, part-time. If I can do some instruction at Air France, that'd be nice, but I don't know how this could happen. But yeah, long haul, part-time are the two main objectives right now.
Yeah, and I was joking about the A330 because the A330 operation and the network of the A330 is way less attractive than the 777 network or the A350 network. I think it's only dedicated, or almost only dedicated, to Africa and a couple mm-hmm. of North America, and that's it. You can go to Asia, you can go to South America. That's pretty restricted.
Yes, this I can't. I do know that people don't like the A330 because of the network, which is indeed mainly Africa. But since I've not yet even done more than like two night stops in my entire career, I can't really vouch for that and what that implies. So I'm still very new to this, to the night stop and network considerations for on this regard.
Great. So that's wraps up the podcast. Thank you very much, Antoine, for joining me on the podcast, the first episode of the second season. So that was a great time for me, 3 years after the last episode recording. And wishing you all the best and looking forward to listening to you on the PA and perhaps on the radio within a one-year time frame in North America. When I will hear Air France, I will perhaps I know that it's you flying the A350. That's what I hope for you.
Well, yeah, thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks. And thanks for all the listeners to keep listening to the 9Gs podcast and Aviation podcast. If you have some rating, don't hesitate to drop a 5-star on the Apple podcast or whatever platform you're using. And then if you have some negative comments, no worries, just drop me an email and I will answer and try to do as much as I can to give you the best podcast as I can. Thank you very much and see you next time.